Have your Bible this morning, and boy, I hope you do. Open it to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, if you will, in the Word of God. And let me say this, too, if you would, remember to pray for my mother-in-law, Mrs. Worley. She's not here this morning. She said at breakfast she was going to try to make it, but she failed yesterday, and she's a little bunged up, all right? So a little bruised. Maybe she'll make it tonight. Pray for her, if you would.
Amen.
And by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Pray for my wife. My wife's taking care of her, and it is a big job. But other than that, my wife doesn't do anything. So she's got plenty of time. So, no, do remember that. Pray for her if you would. And I was definitely kidding about that last part. Did any of you recognize the tune to the song I sang this morning? Did it sound familiar in any way? There she is, Miss America. Phil Schuller was an evangelist.
Amen.
Phil Schuller wrote the song, wrote the words and the music to that song. And he was sued by the folks at Miss America on that pageant over the infringement of the copyright of the song. The only problem was, he wrote his before somebody wrote theirs, all right?
Yes,
so turned out that that didn't work too good for them. But anyway, by the way, Calvary is a lot better than There She Is.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
Oh, my soul, I tell you for sure. You're in Matthew chapter 16, right? Good. Matthew 16, won't you look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You know, and reading these verses and just thinking about them a little bit, considering what's here, and considering that question that Jesus asked Peter, I thought to myself, man, that's an up-to-date question. It's very timely, even in our day. Because when you get on the subject of Jesus Christ and you talk to people and you ask, you know, who do you think he is or who is he? You get all kinds of answers, all right? I mean, just everybody give you a different answer to that question. And somebody will say, for instance, an atheist, you ask him, you'll get one answer. You ask a Muslim, you'll get another answer. You ask a Christian, and this is kind of sad, but you can get all kinds of answers because so many people today really don't know their Bible or don't believe it. But the truth of the matter is, who you ask is going to determine the kind of answer you get. All right? If you ask the one person, you'll get one answer. For instance, look at the answers that Peter said to the Lord when the Lord asked him, or the Lord asked the disciples, and he said, they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Then he said, others say that you're Elijah. And then there's another that said you're Jeremiah. And then some say, well, you're one of the other prophets out there. So the answer you get depends on who you ask. And I just want to take your attention, and I just want you to stay with me a little bit this morning. We're going to try to take you through a little bit of the New Testament today and think about the people we might run into and we might ask that question to out of the Scriptures. The first one I want you to think about is that group that was constantly following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees. If you were to ask the Pharisees, who do you think he is? Man, I guarantee you they would tell you he's a sham, he's a fake, he's an imposter. He's just a fake. That's all there is to it. You know, we followed him around now for years, and we've listened to him, and he blasphemes what he says. The idea that he would claim to be God, claim to be the Son of God, I mean, he's blasphemous. He's a sham now. He's a fake, and we know it, but the only problem is, we just can't catch him at it. We can't trip him up, you know. But we're still in there trying. We believe that we'll eventually find it out. We're gonna find out all the stuff that everybody says he's done is just some kind of trickery. Hey, if you ask the Pharisee, that's the kind of answer you'd get. Who do you say he is? Oh, he's a fake. He's a fake. I don't take you back maybe to John chapter 3, and there's a little guy showed up at night, and his name was Nicodemus. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you were to talk to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus, who do you think Jesus is? Nicodemus would have said, well, he's a great teacher. He's a great teacher. He's a teacher come from God. And I said, we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. He said, nobody could say the things he says if God hadn't sent him. And he is just a wonderful, wonderful teacher. He said some things to me that night that I met him and talked to him. Things that I'd never even considered. And they astounded me. I'd never heard such things. Yeah, if you ask Nicodemus, Nicodemus would say, he's a great teacher. Great teacher. Then I think about if you were to ask that Samaritan woman. If you were to ask that Samaritan woman that the Lord met at Jacob's well. If you were to ask her, listen, you know Jesus. Yeah, I know him. Well, who do you think he is? You know, I can think about her thinking, well, hey, you know something? He's an unusual fella. Unusual fella. I was there with him. He offered me a drink. And I looked around and said, you can't give me a drink. You don't even have anything to draw out this well with. There's no way. He said, you ought to be asking me for a drink instead, all right? But amazing thing is, he told me everything I'd ever done. Man, you talk about a fella that knows something. I perceived right away he was a prophet. Man, he was able to go back. He revealed everything. And I talked to him. What a prophet he was. By the way, since I talked to him, I've never thirsted again. Amen. Never thirsted again. Why? That's what she would say about Jesus. That's what she would say. Let me get you to another person. That woman that we're talked about, who's, we don't know her name, like this woman at the well, we don't know her name. There was a woman, the Bible tells us, had an issue of blood for 12 years. If you were to talk to her and say, you know, who do you think Jesus is? Who do you say he is? And she would begin to tell you, well, I'll tell you this. I heard about him. And what I heard intrigued me. Said, because for 12 years I've dealt with this physical problem. I've sought everybody I could, every specialist around, everybody I could talk to, everybody I consult with. I have spent every dime that I had trying to get some help. But I heard about this fellow Jesus, and I thought, well, why not? It's worth a shot. I've tried everything else, and I'm going to go to him. I'm going to go to him, and I don't have to talk to him. I've heard so much that I believe if I could just touch the hem of his garment, that's all it would take. And she did. She said, I did that. He said, immediately, I was made whole. Immediately. Well, who do you say he is? Well, I tell you, he's a restorer. He's restored my health completely and totally. He's definitely a restorer. Then I think about another person that maybe we'd talk to in John chapter 8. By the way, we don't know her name either. Bible calls her that woman that was taken in adultery. And if we were to talk to her, we'd begin to chat with her and say, listen, who do you say he is? Well, are you familiar with him? Oh, yeah. I tell you, there was a time in my life that I was caught in a very compromising position. And they caught me there, and they took me. I didn't know what was going to happen, but they carried me and they brought me to Jesus Christ. And as they surrounded me and threw me in there with the Lord, with Jesus Christ, they said, you know, Moses commanded in the law that this woman ought to be stoned to death. She said, boy, I thought my goose was cooked. I thought I'd had it. I thought it was over for me. She said, but the most amazing thing happened. Instead of answering them, really, he just knelt down and began to write in the dirt. And she said, I was standing there scared out of my wits, thinking I'm going to die. And then he said the strangest thing. He said, let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone. Amen. She said, I looked around, thought about all them Pharisees, and I already started to flinch. Yeah. But she said, the most amazing thing happened. One by one, those fellows left. Yeah. Said, soon it got to the point it was just me there with Jesus. Yeah. So I didn't really know what to do. I wanted to run. I wanted to get away. But I just couldn't. And then he asked me a question. He said, where are those thine accusers? I said, there's any man? She said, there's no man to accuse me. And said, he said something I never thought I'd hear anybody say to me. He said, go and sin no more. She said, who is Jesus? I'll tell you, he's a friend when I needed a friend in the worst way. I could have cost me my life, but that man was a friend to me. He was a friend to me. Hey, it depends on who you ask is the answer you get. We go on a little bit further and we see this guy, kind of a scruffy looking fella. We stop him. Began to talk to him, said, listen, we're kind of interviewing people and we're just wanting to know who, you've heard of Jesus? Oh, yeah, I've heard of him. So, well, you know, who is he to you? He said, well, let me tell you something. Let me just tell you a little bit. He said, I was captured and convicted and sentenced to death. That was me. And he said, the truth of the matter is, I deserve to die for my crimes. Without a doubt. But he said, I got in a situation I never in the world thought would happen. Said, there came a time where people, the governor and the judge said, I'll give you a choice. You want this convicted criminal? And you want to kill him? Or do you want me to kill Jesus? And he said, I'm sitting there going, well, thanks a lot. That really helped. But he said, I was amazed as all those people cried out, crucify Jesus. Crucify Jesus. And they let me go. You ask me who he is, I'll tell you who he is. He's the greatest substitute there ever been. Greatest substitute there ever been. That's who he is. There's one more fellow we want to talk to. One more fellow, a little short guy. If you know your Bible, you know who's coming. We stop him and we talk to him and say, hey, do you know this fellow Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know him. Boy, do I know him. Yes, I know him. He said, let me tell you. He said, you want to know who I think he is? Let me tell you something. He said, one day yonder outside the city of Jericho, I had climbed up this tree. This old sycamore tree. And he said, you see, I'm a short guy. Couldn't see over the crowd. Said, I climbed up in that tree. And one day he came by, but he didn't just come by. He came to that tree and looked for me. He found me there. He saw me. He called me by my name. He wanted me. He loved me. And I'll tell you what. He said this after he told me to come down out of that tree. He said, this day is salvation come to this house. Oh, I want to tell you something. He saved me that day. Amen. You want to know who I think he is? I think he's the Savior. Amen. That's who I think he is. He's the Savior of mankind. Now, my friend, can I just say this to you? Everything that I've said, in one sense, doesn't matter a bit. Said, how do you figure that, preacher? Still have your Bible open there in Matthew chapter 16? I hope you do. If you don't, open it back up. I want you to see this verse. Matthew chapter 16. You see, my friend, the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter who men say that he is. Doesn't make a hill of beans bit of difference who the atheist said he is. It doesn't make a bit of difference who the Muslim says he is. It doesn't make a bit of difference who your next door neighbor says he is, all right? The question is, and what matters is found in Matthew 16, 15, when he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? See, that's the question. It's not who does somebody else say, but who do you say he is? Somebody else says, well, he's my friend, best friend ever had. Can I say this to you? You're mighty right about that. He is the best friend anybody ever had.
Amen.
Hands down. Because he is the friend that the Bible describes when it says he sticketh closer than a brother. He's a better friend. The best friend you could ever have. But I want to point out to you, he's more than just a friend. You said, well, I think he's a teacher. Good. He is a teacher. Boy, he's still teaching us. And a lot of people not getting the message, all right? But he's still trying. He's left us his word to teach us and to guide us in life. He is the greatest teacher ever was. But wait a minute. He's more than a friend. He's more than a teacher. He's more than a teacher. You say, well, you know, I think he's a prophet. Well, he was. He was a prophet. He tells your future. He tells your future. He warns you of what's to come for every person in the world, all right? In the Word of God, he tells us. He warns you, here's what's coming. Here's what's coming. Hey, he looks at you and he says, if you die without accepting me as your Savior, you'll spend an eternity in hell. You're going to spend an eternity in hell. Well, the Bible said the fire's not quenched. The worm dieth not. The fire's not quenched. The torment goes on forever and ever and ever. That's your future. On the other hand, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, he says your future's, you've got a home in heaven. You'll spend an eternity with me. With me. The most beautiful place you could ever even imagine. It's reserved in heaven for you. Hey, he's a prophet. I don't tell you. He's more than a friend. He's more than a teacher. He's more than a prophet. You say, well, I'm kind of like that. A woman, you know, in the, had that issue of blood, and he's a healer preacher. I can tell you about how he's healed me. Yep, he is. You know what? He's been restoring lives for over 2,000 years now. Restoring, putting homes back together. Hey, he can make the mess of your life straight if you'll let him. He can straighten it out. If you'll just come to him. That woman with that issue of blood, she could have got help before. She just waited. She'd have come sooner, she'd have got help sooner. I'm amazed that people sit back, their life's tore up, it is an absolute mess, it is a disaster, but we don't come to Christ. We don't come seeking the help that only he can give. We stay away from him. Hey, he's more, though, than a restorer of lives. He's more than a restorer of health. He's more than that. I'll tell you this, just like old Barabbas found out, he is your substitute.
Amen.
He is your substitute. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. He was our substitute. He is your substitute. He died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you.
Amen.
He took your place. You say, well, I deserved anything like that. Yes, you have.
Amen.
Yes, you have. You're a sinner. Just vile and wicked as can be. Preacher, wait a minute now. I'm not that bad. That's our problem. We don't see sin as it really is. But it is a vile, vile thing. Those things that we say, that's just minor. That's little sin. No, that's all it took to have to make Jesus go to the cross, die for you.
Right.
He is your substitute. I want you to take your Bible, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. I want you to see this scripture, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, would you? Well, I want you to see what the Word of God says right here. Hebrews chapter 2, down in verse 9. The Bible says, but we see Jesus,
amen,
who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Oh, he is your substitute. He tasted death for you. He said, hey, I've never trusted Christ. He didn't taste death for me. Yeah, he did. He said, well, I've never availed myself. Doesn't change the fact he paid your sin debt. You just didn't have trusted him to pay as the payment for yours. Doesn't change what he did. He tasted death for every man. He went to the cross. He died for you and me. He bore our sins in his own body. Hey, he is more than a friend. He's more than a teacher. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a healing restorer. He is your very substitute for you. He is that. And I'll tell you what, he wants to be your Savior. Wants to be your Savior. His invitation to you is wide open. Wide open. He says, would you just come? Would you just come? He doesn't say clean up and come. He says come. He doesn't say get your life squared away and then come. He just says come. Amen. Just come. Amen. All right? He doesn't say do penance for 15 days, 15 minutes, or 15 years. He just says come. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's his invitation. That's his simple invitation. He wants to be your Savior. He says it's whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will. Anybody, all right? He'll forgive your sin and save your soul if you'd come to him. He's there. Listen, I want to tell you something. I can guarantee you he's not a sham. I can guarantee you he's not a fake. There's others that are sitting here this morning. You could testify to that. There's nothing fake about him. There's no fraud in him. And I want to tell you what. I remember that day years ago, trusting him as my Savior. Been trying to walk with him now for over 55 years and to live for him. He saved me as a boy. He's kept me since then. Kept me since then. He's provided my needs. He's lifted me up when I was in danger. And I got news for you. I know that he's going to carry me through and he's going to carry me over whatever may come. Amen. Not worried about it. Amen. One of these days, he will usher me into heaven. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, it's not because I'm special. But it's because he is. He is. Hey, you're sitting here this morning. You've never trusted Christ. What in the world are you waiting on? Well, I'd just rather die and spend eternity in hell. Have you lost your mind? Nobody. Nobody wants to burn forever. Nobody. We had a man in our church in Florida. His name's Brother Garrett. Brother Garrett was a mechanic. He was working. Brother Garrett had the biggest fingers of anybody I've ever seen in my life. And the worst thing about it, he'd come by and he'd thump you right in the forehead. Bam. Nearly, man, your head would ring for 5 minutes after he did that. I was just a kid. Boom, he'd do that, you know. He taught me in Sunday school. And one day he was working on a car. Something happened. Things went wrong in that car. It squirted gas on him and a spark ignited it. And he became a torch himself. He was taken to the hospital, and boy, I mean, he was there for a long, long time. But I guarantee you, if you talked to him, he would have said, don't set me on fire. Again, don't do that. Most of us got the good sense to run away from that kind of thing. We run away from it. How in the world would you want to spend all eternity in flames? Said, preacher, I don't believe that's going to happen. Well, I got bad news. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's going to happen. Amen. But the Lord Jesus Christ died. He went to the cross to pay your sin debt so you don't have to do that. Amen. You know what he does? He doesn't say bring your money. Doesn't say arrange financing. He just says come and I'll give it to you freely. Freely. Would you come? Would you come to him today? Would you take him as your Savior? Would you just have the courage this morning? We sing the invitation to him in just a moment. Would you have the courage to just step out, walk down the aisle? I'll meet you right there. right there, and just say, "Preacher, I want to trust Christ today." Would you do that? Christian, you're here. Who's Jesus to you? Say, "He's my Savior." Good. But can I say this to you? He ought to be more than that. He ought to be your best friend.
Amen.
He's the friend you can count on when you can't count on anybody else. He ought to be that friend to you. You know what? He ought to be that teacher for you. The teacher that you need. Because you ought to go to him and let him instruct you. You ought to open his word and pray and ask him to reveal things to you. The truth. All right? You ought to never forget the fact he is your substitute. You'll never forget that. We ought to live every moment with a consciousness that he paid my sin debt. And I'm free today, and I'm on my way to heaven, not because I deserve it, but because of what he gave me. And we ought to be willing to tell everybody about it. Hey, how about it? Do you do it? Do you do it? Christian, is he really your friend? Said, "Oh, yeah, okay, how long has it been since you talked to him?" I mean, really talk to him.
Amen.
Not, "Lord, save me, or that truck's going to hit me."
Yeah.
No, how long has it been since you really talked to him? When's the last time you sat down and opened this book and allowed him to speak to you, to teach you, to instruct you? Oh, he is your friend, but he's a neglected friend a lot of times. My friend, you're here this morning, never trusted him your Savior. Would you trust him today? Listen, I'm pleading with you. Would you come? Would you come? Well, just have the courage. Step out, walk down the aisle. I'll have somebody take the Bible, open the Bible, show you what to do. Nobody's going to make you give a speech. Nobody's going to try to embarrass you. We love you. We're glad you're here, but we want you to be saved.
Amen.
Would you come? Would you come? Christian, if you're the reason they're not getting saved, then you need to get right with God.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd deal with every heart today. Lord, speak to us. Help us to see our need. Help us to see ourselves, Lord, as we really are. Lord, to know that you're so much more than a friend. You're not just a prophet or a teacher. Lord, you are the Savior. You're the one who is our substitute. You took our sin to the cross. You bore that sin in your own body to pay the debt that we owe. Dear God, would you help us to acknowledge that today? Lord, if there's folks today not been saved, would you help them to step out and come forward? Help them to meet me right here and allow somebody to take the Bible and show them what the Bible says. Lord, deal with us now. Deal with Christians. You ought to be the best friend we have, but we neglect you. Forgive us. Lord, if Christians need to come, help them to come. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we sing the invitation hymn? God's dealing with you. God's spoken to you. Would you come this morning? The altar's open. Would you come to him? If you're lost, meet me right here, would you? Come on.